Good afternoon, Cell Group, and welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel. We're reaching the end of the church's year. Next Sunday is going to be the Feast of Christ the King, and it's the last Sunday of the current liturgical year B. And then the first Sunday of Advent is the first Sunday of year C. It starts. So at the close of the liturgical year, the readings turn to the end of time, a theme which forms a bridge with the first Sunday of Advent, which begins with, guess what, the end of time. Anyway, Mark's 13th chapter is apocalyptic. Now, it's a type of writing we've come across before, which is highly symbolic and can be difficult to decipher. Normally, apocalyptic writings are written for faith groups, Jewish or Christian, who are under pressure or persecution of some kind. The message is usually an assurance that the future really is in God's hands, in spite of appearances, and not to lose faith. Endurance is the key virtue expressed in Mark with a command to stay awake. The apocalyptic writings usually try to unmask the apparent omnipotence of the current empire. Mark 13 seems, in part, to have been written up in the light of the threatened or real destruction of Jerusalem, when the Romans would raise their idolatrous standards in the temple itself. And when you think of it, the Roman Empire seemed to be indomitable, and no one could overcome it. But it's gone, it's been passed, and other empires have come and gone. So it's this is a writing that came at a very specific time, although like all scripture, it's useful for our time. At the time of writing, the death and resurrection of Jesus were interpreted as part of the end, the first installment. So our particular passage, we'll look at it now. In general, Mark is saying that no historical or political event can be taken as an unequivocal indication of the end. The disciples must be content with A, not knowing, just as Jesus himself did not know, and B, suffering, again, just as Jesus himself did. So, just looking at the actual text itself, we've got, in those days after the time of distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will lose its brightness, the stars will come falling from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. So these are the signs of the last day, and earthquakes are a sign of God's presence. So this is the presence of the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he would send out his angels to gather his chosen, the elect, from the four winds to the ends of the world, from the ends of the world to the ends of heaven. So this is a joyful day for the elect. They're going to be gathered into safety. And then to learn from nature, take the fig tree as a parable. As soon as its twigs grow supple and leaves come out, you know the summer is near. So with you, when you see things happening, know that he is near at the very gates, I tell you. I tell you solemnly, before this generation has passed away, all these things will have taken place. I find this verse puzzling. But apparently this generation would see the destruction of Jerusalem, would see the end of their temple worship, would see the shattering of all the things that they depended upon. But yet they had to hold within themselves a faith and a resistance that God was still with them. So we've got some wee questions now for you to share. Jesus speaks of the established order falling apart, but the collapse of the old order opened the way for new possibilities. When have you seen something new and hopeful emerge after the collapse of something that you had expected to endure much longer, perhaps even forever? And the second one, the parable of the fig tree. Even in winter, it begins to put out leaves which give a hint of the fruit to come. Where have you found signs of hope in a wintry situation in your own life, in the life of some group, in the life of the church? There's a lovely theme in this gospel about the present moment. Jesus proposes no clear timescale for the events being foretold, so the final sentence is a call to alertness, to live the present to the full. What difference does it make to you when you are able to live the present moment to the full? So let us pray. Your creation, O God, runs its appointed course as far as the ends of the earth. You gather a people you call your own. Confirm us in the strength of your abiding word. Steady our hearts in the time of trial, so that on the day of the Son of Man, we may, without fear, rejoice to behold his appearing, through Christ our Lord. And God bless your work as you gather together to share this word of God.